I was very intrigued by the notion of, noticing that I'm lying on the bed and the bed is holding me up and I'm not, that's letting go and the drinking water. What came to my mind was, is this the same, is it the same to say as that letting go is sort of not being in the state of trying to do anything about anything? Something like that.
Well, that yes, that is it. But what's interesting is that on the other hand, this is, this will be developing throughout this series of conversations, this conversation itself, right here, this question you're asking. Not trying to do anything about anything can also be a process where you're trying to not trying to do.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because what's always going to come back, what's always going to be right at the middle, what's always going to be immediately available is your ability to think a thought that feels better, to say something that feels better, to do something that feels better. And that's always what this is going to come down to. What's also very interesting is that you can, in fact, this is sort of the more advanced part of the conversation. I want to use that word. It's certainly the most practical application idea. You can certainly just let yourself try to let go, and you can let yourself try to not try to do things. And in other words, just surrender yourself to the fact that you want to push, that you want to make it happen, that you want to get it done. Resistance is always the problem. If there's a problem, it's going to be resistance. It's never going to be anything else. And as we talked about before, and again, this is something that we will undoubtedly talk more and more about, you're already in a big, huge hotbed of resistance already. And it's exactly right, because you can't have you as you know yourself to be, as you've defined yourself to be. We've talked before about how, at the very center of your being, you could see it at the center of your chest if you wanted to. There's a little pinprick of light that's the brightest light you'll ever behold, so bright you can't see it. That really is sort of the manifestation point. It's where all of the ideas that you have from a non-physical perspective enter into the physical reality, and it's right inside of you. In a geographical perspective, it's inside of you. Your body is constructed through this place. You can sort of see spirals of energy reaching out from this very tiny spot, extending out and becoming, the ends of your fingers and the ends of your toes and the very top of your head, making you who you are, forming your personality. This is how all your thoughts take shape. And there's the shapes that are obvious and the shapes that are not quite so obvious. Like you have a body, but you also have a personality. You have a name. These are forms that keep constantly being reconstituted moment after moment after moment, coming from that single spot. We've called that sort of like spot number one. And then your body, your personality, your aura, if you will, is spot number two. And then everything else in physical terms is number three. So from your number two perspective, you are thus you. You are the I am. And then everything else is the thou, something outside of you, not you, something outside of you. In order to have this setup, which is not nearly as large as it appears, because as we've talked about before, in purely metaphysical terms, the physical aspects of physical reality are actually very small and contained, because you only have as much as is useful to you at any given moment. So if you're in a small room, the small room is really all that's there. If you cannot perceive it, it doesn't exist. Now, others have talked about this before historically and have been called heretics or have been called reductionists or just plain crazy. But the truth is that you have no capacity to prove otherwise. If you build a camera and put it in a room somewhere else and then watch what is happening on the camera, all of those constructions just basically give you the effect that you're expecting. But this is a hotbed of resistance. There's just no other way to put it. In order to have the room, you have to resist the truth of who you are. To see the room grounded in a physical reality, to have the the floor of the room sitting on the concrete basis of the building, which then rests upon the earth itself. In order for this to happen and for the room to not literally float away, which is what it's wanting to do, by the way, all of these things all want to expand away from you. And it's not because they don't like you, it's because you are the creator and they all want to become more of what they are. To hold the room in place, you literally have to hold on to it. Now, your helpers are helping you with this. We've talked about that, how your helpers help you maintain the construction of physical reality so that you're free to do things like worry and freak out and be afraid and get angry and have all these different contrasting experiences and also see colors and hear sound and taste things and have sex and go for walks on the beach and pet a dog and hold a child in your arms. In order for you to do all of that, you have to have this constructed reality, and while you're in the middle of petting the dog or holding the child, your helpers have this all covered for you. You don't have to constantly maintain some sort of personality level focus to make sure the room doesn't float off into outer space, which is sort of what it wants to do. In scientific terms, this is called entropy, right? But in fact, it actually is evolution. So the reason why we bring all of this sort of metaphysical everything, we've just, you know, as you've noticed, we've just sort of brought in the entire bag of everything, opened it up like we've opened up, here are all the toys in the room, here's everything we've got, and more, undoubtedly. The bottom line is, you can observe how much letting go you're doing by just sitting in a chair and breathing in and out. Because you are not in charge from your personality perspective of keeping it all together. And yeah, in fact, you are so powerfully convinced that it is all together that pretty much everyone listening to us is of two minds. Yes, this sounds like a nice little metaphysical tale, and oh my God, that's the craziest, stupidest thing I've ever heard. Where logic has a lot of opinions, and we're not saying that logic is wrong. Logic is absolutely right, because whatever you put your attention to, you're right about. But what we were saying is, you can try not to try. Or what you can do is just let yourself do what you're doing anyway. It's one of the most powerful ways of letting go. Letting things be as they are. Yeah. Letting yourself be as you are. Letting it happen the way that it's happening. Letting yourself be in this place at this time in this way. Letting it be completely okay. This is powerful stuff.
And that is a manner of letting, that is letting go, letting things be as they are. That really resonates with me.
Yes,
they will take care of themselves.
Yes, indeed. And when we say letting things be as they are, we don't just mean the objects, and we don't just mean your attempts to do things, and we don't just mean the way that you think thoughts. We mean all of those things, and plus lots and lots and lots of other things that we can't even begin to describe right at this moment.
Okay. All right. It suddenly seems odd that we would come into this manifestation in this way and then want to start managing things.
Right. But that isn't actually what happened. Remember, go back to the 3-year-old throwing their fit in the shopping center. Mm. Remember that what that is right there, when they're saying, I want this toy and it's not fair that you won't let me have it, when they're doing that, you did that, you've had children who did that to you, you've been around other children who were doing that to their parents. What that is right there is that someone saying, look, to put it quite bluntly with salty language, look, motherfuckers, you told me when I got here I could have anything that I wanted. Now you're pulling it all out from underneath me and telling me, nope, we changed our mind. Now you have to walk. We're not going to carry you anymore. Now you have to feed yourself. We're not going to hand it to you. Now we're going to do these things. And it seems like if you remember as a parent, you remember when you turned on each of your children.
Yeah.
There was just this moment when you thought, hey, that's enough. I'm not going to carry you anymore. I am not going to do this anymore. You need to learn how to stand on your own two feet. Right?
Yeah, lots of those.
Right. And you may have even felt bad about it because you may have remembered in your own mind there was that day when you felt betrayed by your parents.
Yeah.
And you knew it was going to be like this when you got here. You knew when you participated in bringing someone else into physical form. We say participated sort of, you know, well, you know how it works. When you participated in that, you knew this was going to happen to them. You knew you were going to give them everything, and then you were going to pull it all away. That's where, and the reason you did it was because you were a very caring, well-meaning, loving father. You wanted your children to know it is a big, bad world out there, and you got to be ready, and that means when you can walk, you're on your own, kid. When you can talk, you're on your own, and good luck, right?
Yeah.
Now, obviously, it wasn't that cut and dry, and that's why, you know, the terrible twos become the terrible 12s. It gets stretched out over a long period of time. But all of that struggle, all of that fighting, all of that, like, weird stuff that children do that you remember, it all comes down basically to the same thing. You told me I could have anything that I wanted, and now you're telling me I can't.
Mm.
So well-adapted children, well-adapted adults, within the context of a chaotic universe, know how to delay gratification, right? They know how to, you know, keep themselves to themselves, how not to push. And if they start pushing, then they're pushy. If it's a woman, she's a bitch. If it's a man, he's aggressive, whatever it is. And that's how the chaotic universe manages itself. But it's a fully participatory, fully voluntary process. And as we've said before, if you're in this conversation, you're probably not participating that much anymore.
Yeah, we're opting out.
It wasn't like, right. Well, not exactly.
We're opting back in or something.
Just looking at it going, well, that's very interesting. I have this other thing I'm going to do. See, that's also the other thing is that, so dropping out, opting out, walking away, that means that you're old enough to know this. When you drop out, there has to be something that you're dropping out from that's valid and real. Right?
Right.
If you're going to lick a stamp and sit in the middle of a field and watch everything turn into different colors, you're dropping out of a system, but you're going to come back to it.
Mm.
That's going to last as long as the chemicals are in your body.
Mm-hmm.
So you're still in the system.
Yeah.
What we're talking about, what you are doing, what you've actually already done, what almost everyone else in this conversation has done. And again, we're not saying this is right or good or better. We're just saying we're responding to your call. We're reminding you of what you have. What everyone pretty much in this conversation, anyone listening to this recording who's not feeling like it's nails on chalkboard, because if you are, by the way, feeling like this is nails on chalkboard, stop listening. This isn't for you. But nonetheless, you're not opting out, dropping out, walking away. You're just saying, this isn't real. Not, it shouldn't be real. It is real, and I'm going to pretend like it's not real. You're literally tapping it and realizing it's like jello. There's nothing there. These are all constructive thoughts that have to be maintained again and again and again that take a lot of energy. And that's why you know, and here we come all the way back, that's why you know why trying to let go is such a problem. Because when you do let go, when you just take in another breath, it didn't require any effort. You just did it.
Yeah.
There's no construction to fulfill. Now, there's still constructions, but they're very different. They're supportive. They're aligned. They're there to help you very specifically, and you know it, and you're conscious of it, and you're aware of it, and you're participating in that way. And then, of course, what happens is the notion of the chaotic universe as being other changes. And you begin to realize, oh, yes, how I got here was because of what I experienced there. And if I hadn't experienced that, I wouldn't have this. and you'll know it and you'll see it. Some call this forgiveness. What we would just say is that you just realize everyone everywhere has always been helping you in every way possible, far beyond your imagining. That's it. That's all metaphysics in a nutshell. And that's also what it means to let things be what they are. You let the chaotic universe be chaotic. You let the child be upset. You let the parent be controlling. You let the spouse be jealous. You let the dog be barky. The cat be meowing. You let everyone do what they're doing, and what you will see, as you yourself know very powerfully, is when you do that, they all change. Because now you're no longer offering resistance that's holding them, your creations, in that role. Now you're letting them be who they are. And that means they can evolve. That's all this is about. Now we say it's all this is about, as though it's just that simple. Everyone knows how to do this. Obviously, we wouldn't be spending time in this conversation if that was immediately true. But it is ultimately true. Easily understood, and easier and easier and easier to do. But as you said, coming into the conversation, it really is just as simple as letting the bed hold you, letting the floor hold you, letting the chair hold you. They're operating on your behalf, and they're doing a damn good job of it. So, is there anything else you want to bring to the table?
No, thank you. That was really wonderful. Thank you very much.
And we thank you. A very, very powerful, delicious, and delightful conversation indeed.